You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast ahead of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open and the Greenbrier Classic, the two events on the schedule this week. Dave Kellner, Dave Tindall and Mike Grenham all with you to go through these two tournaments. But first, let's reflect on last week, as we always do, and a couple of decent performances from good ball strikers, Mike. Tommy Fleetwood winning in the Open de France, and Kyle Stanley doing the business in that playoff with Charles Howell III, who has made $30 million but won twice on tour.
It's not better than making $10 million and winning five times, Dave, as we discussed the other day. His bank manager doesn't care how often he holds the trophy. So fair play to Charles. He comes across very well, doesn't he, in the media. And I was cheering for him to win, to be fair. But who knows? That was a good performance. He's been off for 9 weeks as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, so yeah, it'd be nice for him to win a playoff. Nothing against Kyle Stanley, who's a very good player, and he's having a renaissance himself, isn't he?
We were talking about this, Dave, off air, as Mike just referenced there. And would you rather have won $10 million on tour?
No. Well, I'd rather have won $10 million, yes.
And taken like maybe a couple of major championships, one or two, or $30 million on tour and just won two regular standard events?
Well, I personally don't know the difference between 10 million and 30 million. I know it's 20 million technically, but if
you've got it right, Dave, you do know it.
If you've got that much, is that much of a difference? I don't know. I'd rather have the legacy and the wins, I think.
I'd rather have the £30 million.
What about that performance from Fleetwood, though? Second win of the season. Won in Abu Dhabi earlier in the year. Finished fourth in the US Open. Has finished second in a WGC event in Mexico as well this season. Moves to world number 15 now. And he's as short as 16-1 with William Hill to win the Open Championship, Dave.
It's a local course, isn't it, Royal Birkdale? So I think the juice has been flattened out of him there, though, hasn't it? So Tommy Fleetwood, if he can win there, I mean, what would he have, four missed cuts at Le Golf National? You think maybe that course isn't for him, but if he can just rock up and win that, it shows current form is kind of everything with him at the minute. Brilliant US Open, superb in Germany. Well, good in Germany the week after.
Yeah.
Brilliant in France. Yeah, wow, what a player. And I think it's just confirming what we knew. It's almost a bigger surprise that it took him that long to sort of get going, because for a long time his only win was that one in Scotland, wasn't it? And now he's really kicked on and showing what a class act he is.
He has indeed. Let's get stuck into this week then.
Borrowed your trousers though, didn't he, Dave?
I've noticed they were ridiculous, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
I wouldn't wear a pair of trousers like that, which is saying something. I mean, they kept on riding up as well. So on the last few holes, I think it was a Saturday, was it?
Yeah, it's like he's wearing shorts.
You could see more and more of his leg as the afternoon
wore on.
It
wasn't appealing, was it?
Not sure about those. Let's get stuck into this week then. By the way, before we do, how brown is he next to? Where's he? Where have you been, Dave?
York Races.
From York Races?
Yeah.
Is that York, Venezuela? Or
No, it was York, Yorkshire. United Kingdom. Yeah.
Wow.
Losing money left, right and centre on the horses.
Must get there, Dave, and get a little bit of colour in our cheeks.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll make money this week.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, in which Rory McIlroy is the 6-1 favourite. Hideki Matsuyama, 8-1. John Rahm is 12s. Justin Rose, 14-1. Tommy Fleetwood is 14-1. Thomas Peters is 22s. Matthew Fitzpatrick, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Shane Lowry and Torbjörn Olesen, all 25s. And it's a 28-1 bar. And this event has become a gem in the European Tour's crown over the last few years. Ever since Rory McIlroy became involved in this championship back in 2015, it's attracted some of the biggest names in the sport. And with John Rahm and Hideki Matsuyama making the trip to Port Stewart for this championship, I'm sure McIlroy will be pleased with the quality of the field, even if some of the more prominent European Tour regulars are absent, the likes of Wiesberger and Keimer, to name a couple. He'll be happy with attracting Rahm and Wiesberger, Dave. Rahm and Matsuyama.
Yeah, it's especially, well, Rahm's kind of here for a few weeks, isn't he? So this fits in. But getting Matsuyama, one of the best players in the world, over, yeah, a real coup for McIlroy. And it's interesting, those prices, 6-1 McIlroy, 8-1 Matsuyama, 12-1 Rahm. Maybe not jumping out of you, but if one of them goes on to win, you'll think, that was all right, that wasn't it, that price?
It wouldn't be a surprise, would it, if one of the three big names won this week? And last year was spectacular. Away from the major championships, Mike, it was one of the more iconic moments of the European Tour season. McIlroy won and played those two fairway wood shots,
yeah,
which were incredible,
weren't
they?
Shot into the par five. Was that shot of the year, I think, on the European Tour? Yeah. I think it might have been. It was good, wasn't it? It was dramatic. It's a good field, again. It's a cracking field, isn't it? And it's very interesting that the European Tour now have three links events on the trot, with the Irish, the Scottish and the Open now in three consecutive weeks. The Irish being, hopefully they'll continue. It's not always at a links course like this one this week, but Scottish is always now on a links course, isn't it? And the Open definitely is. So, yeah, that I think that'll attract more players because you get a good run at it, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I think it's good to have those three
practice,
those 2 weeks leading into the
Scottish
Open Championship.
Participants have a really good record in the Open.
I'm sure if you look, even if they've missed the cut at the Scottish Open, you're still more likely to go on and win it just because you've had a couple of rounds.
Particularly if it's on the links courses, which the Scottish didn't used to be always, but now.
Yeah, that Loch Lomond wasn't much of a.
Not much use.
Almost sort of penalising your chances, wasn't it?
But it's got to help, hasn't it? Getting used to shaping shots and putting on those greens and all of that.
And Port Stewart is the host venue for this year's test in the Irish Open. It's not that far from Port Rush, the venue that hosted back in 2012 in the northern part of Ireland. And it's a short course, measures just over 7,000 yards. And if the weather forecast is to be believed, recording this on Tuesday afternoon, it's not going to be that windy Thursday or Friday. It might kick up a little bit over the weekend, but it's going to be wet throughout. I think we're going to see a lot of rain this week. And I suppose coming into this championship, Mike, you're looking at just good links form. But I suppose the wind is often a factor. I reckon scoring might be quite low if the forecast is to be believed.
Well, you think they're going to score well?
Yeah, I think they're going to score pretty well this week.
You think, softer, the ground soften, the irons will stick on the greens. Yeah, that could
happen. Not a long golf course either,
no, it's
is
not
it?
Long. It used to be a nine-holer, didn't it, I think?
Yeah.
I think it was a nine-holer originally, so no, it's not long. That'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that, as we say every year on the Open podcast, the weather's very important in links golf, isn't it? But it's also very difficult to predict.
Yeah,
you know, you can easily
base it on the draw and you're completely wrong.
Get it completely wrong, not just, you know, half wrong. It can be the complete flip side of what you're trying to do. So it'll be interesting to see what it's like here. So again, as we always say in links events, you probably want to save a few quid just in case the draw goes against you.
Mm. I've got two picks for the event.
One for me.
One.
Okay. Shall I lead off then?
That is how it works.
I'm going with Jamie Donaldson as my number one selection here at 66-1, a point each way. Back to form, Donaldson after his spell in the wilderness. Finished seventh in the Nordea Masters. Followed that with a tie for 14th at the BMW International Open. And last week in France wasn't quite as good, but still finished in 32nd, and he actually won at Royal Portrush in the Irish Open by four shots back in 2012, and he's finished in a tie for 10th in his last two starts in the tournament as well. This sort of setup really suits Donaldson. He's not going to overpower a golf course, and he relies more on sharp wedge play, and he's got that blend of current form and links form that's appealing in a tournament like this. He's finished inside the top 15 four times in the Alfred Dunhill Links as well, which is another string to his bow, and I thought he looked a decent each-way bet at 66-1, so Jamie Donaldson is my selection, Mike.
I get that, Dave. I thought he looked as he had a chance. Yeah, I really did. I'm going to go for... Shall I go next?
Yeah, you've gone next.
Tyrrell Hatton is my pick here. Who's what price is he, 28?
28-1, yeah.
Very good links player. Fourth here in the Irish Open in 2015 when it was at a links course, fifth last year when it wasn't. But he won the Alfred Dunhill Links last year. He was second in the Scottish Open, fifth in the Open. I don't think I need to say any more about his links credentials based on that. Slightly gone off form in the last couple of events. He missed the cut on the number, I think it was, in the French and maybe by a couple of shots in the US Open, but had been in very good form for most of the year before that. And, you know, with good finishes a couple of times in Dubai, a fourth at Bay Hill and Honda on the tougher American Tour, and also a top 10 in a WGC event in Mexico. So Tyrrell Hatton, I'm hoping that his bubble hasn't burst. I think he's shown that he's got the ability to compete at the top level. He's a cracking links player in 28-1. Looks very good each way price.
Hatton 28-1 for Mike. Someone I think I might have mentioned last week off air that for the Open Championship, if he does show a bit of form in the next, I'm not sure he's playing in the Scottish Open, but if he shows a bit of form in the lead up to the
if
Open
he did.
Championship,
I reckon he will.
You think he will? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. He was second in it last year, wasn't he?
28-1 Tyrrell Hatton, Mike's number one pick. Dave?
Yeah, if you look at the winners of this event, you go through the list going back maybe 10, 11 years, they're all GB and Ireland or a couple of Scandinavians in there.
Northern Europeans.
So you've obviously done well by picking that, fitting that trend. So I'm going to go for the kind of Northern European Scandinavian element and pick Thorbjørn Olesen. Mike said about Tyrrell Hatton winning the Alfred Dunhill Links. Well, Olesen won that as well recently. He's also finished second in that event to prove his links credentials. Had a really good Open 2012, Olesen. Just a really good win play. You read some of his quotes on the ASAP Sports, and he just says he's a really good win play. We've seen him play really well in the Middle East when it gets windy in Qatar.
Yeah.
So he can really cope with all that side of things. As for current form, this is probably what really kicked him over the line for me, the fact that he was tied third in the Open de France on Sunday. Really played great in that final. He shot 65. So he's had a nice mix of current and kind of, you say, event form. He's got three top 20s in four starts in this event. I think you've mentioned Port Rush. He was tied 18th there.
Yeah.
So he ticks that box as well. Now, 25-1, you might look at that and think, well, there's nothing really. That's kind of a bit disappointing. But what gives him the benefit of the doubt for me is the fact that he is a 25-1 shot who wins tournaments. Sometimes you get players around that price, possibly looking at Rafa Cabrera Bay, who just cannot get over the line. Well, Olesen, when he's up there, he does a great job at turning it into a win or an each-way payout. So for me, I'm willing to accept maybe something a little bit skinnier than I was hoping for, just on the fact that he is a proven winner.
Yeah, he looks a good fit, doesn't he? And I think that's what maybe attracted punters on Monday as well.
I expect he'll be popular, yeah.
Olesen, 25-1, Dave's selection. I'm going a bit further down the list for my second pick here. 150-1, a man that was in contention at the French but faded on Saturday and Sunday. Paul Waring is my second selection at 150-1. I really think this is a good price. He's 32 years old, but he's not played that much golf. He's been out injured quite a lot of his career, Waring, but he's got a really sweet swing, and I was pretty impressed with the way he acquitted himself last week in France. Bang there going into the weekend, just faltered on those difficult closing holes on Saturday and Sunday. I think he made four double bogeys Saturday, Sunday, and they both came, I think it was both that came on 15 and 18, those doubles. But he finished in a tie for 16th, and that kind of, I think it hides how well he played last week. He's got a bit of links form as well. Finished 10th in that Irish Open that Donaldson won back in 2012, and finished inside the top 20 on his Open Championship debut as well, Paul Waring. Couple of top 30 finishers in the Dunhill Links. And he's already got three top tens on tour this season, albeit in much weaker events. He's got a tendency to start quickly, so I wouldn't put anyone off if he's on the right side of the draw looking at a first-round leader bet on Paul Waring. But I think he's overpriced at 150-1 in this field, so I'm going to go a point each way on Paul Waring as well as my second selection at 150s. Honourable mentions then, chaps. Mike, you've had the one pick. Who came closest apart from that?
Well, there was a few. Cabrera Bello should play well, as Dave said, probably without winning. I'd imagine that Shane Lowry will be popular this week. He's a good links player and showing a bit more form. Andy Sullivan catches my eye a little bit for this. He was in contention at the weekend there, although I saw him hit the ball into the water from a greenside bunker. Did you see
that? Yeah, I did see that.
What did he take on that in the end? I'm not sure what score he went.
It
wasn't going to be pretty.
No. It's such a tough closing stretch, isn't it, in France. That's what impressed me so much about Fleetwood, you know, that he held it together so well.
Yeah, he did, and the day before as well, yeah. And then a couple of old faithfuls that are decent, for maybe top 20 bets or whatever for Lynx players, Raphael Jacquelin and Richie Ramsey both tend to play quite well, in these kind of events. Mm. Did I mention Matthew Fitzpatrick? I just think he should play a lot better in Lynx events. He's got flashes of form, but not enough to make me want to get interested in him. But I really like Hatton's chance, to be honest. Mm. I have to say he's a bit of a standout for me this week.
I was looking at Graham McDowell as one at 40-1 because this is his home event, isn't it, basically? He's talked in the lead up to this. I know he's missed a couple of cuts back to back, but he's speaking positively about his game and says he feels in good shape, and he gets to stay at home with his parents this week, and he's talked about being back in his old bed, home cooking, etc., etc. And obviously he's got some Lynx form in the bag as well. 40-1, McDowell.
You know, when you look at quotes and from Serp, he's one of the ones I don't really believe. I don't think he's ever going to say anything but that.
He's ultra positive, is that what you're saying?
I think they're all a bit like that. I'm not a massive fan of quotes.
No.
They always say that they're playing well and they love the cause.
I think the best quotes when you read transcripts are the ones that give you a bit of information beyond, like, they played it growing up or something, rather than just, I think, I mean...
But McDowell did play this course numerous times as a kid.
So that's
that is an advantage. Maybe I was picking out the wrong quotes there.
Aren't they these days told by their sports psychologists? They're told to be positive all the time.
In such a mental and
individual game as golf, you've kind of got to be positive to a degree, haven't you? I think.
Where do you stand on a player winning an event and then another player being inspired the week afterwards then?
I'm not a massive fan of that particularly either.
No.
I just think they're all individuals trying to win every week, aren't they? I don't think it does any harm, maybe, if an Australian wins in the Australian, but does it really make you play any better? I don't know. It's not for me, but you do.
Sometimes if the player involved thinks the person who's won the week before isn't as good as them, they might think,
maybe he can win.
Yeah, more like out of spite.
are you asking that question because you disagree or agree?
I've not got any strong opinion either way.
Honestly, I've not,
and that's unusual for me.
It is,
but I've not. I think sometimes it helps and sometimes it's overplayed.
I think it's overplayed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just as guilty as you about picking a quote when someone's saying I slept in my own bed. I'd like to make a sort of list of players who did sleep in their own bed.
It'd be good to do a study on it, wouldn't it?
Because as soon as it's one of those, you kind of look for it, and if it happens, you think, there's another example, and then you just discard the 99 who slept in their own bed.
Precisely. That's the key, isn't it? Because it's something that you can't measure because you don't have an intimate knowledge of each and every player out there.
Yeah, and there's been a number of examples this year. He's played the Erin Hills. Someone had played Erin Hills a lot of the time. I can't remember who it was, but they missed the cut, didn't they? Yeah. You get a lot of that as well, don't you?
Yeah.
It's easy to remember the times where it works.
I'm now shifting uncomfortably in my seat about what my pick for
next
tournament.
Have you picked someone who lives at Greenbrier by any chance?
Had a house for years at Old TPC White.
Yeah, loves his own bed.
Obviously, there are exceptions to the rule.
Yes, obviously. We're going to come on to one very shortly. Are we done with the Irish Open then?
Yes.
We mentioned everyone that we want to mention here.
I was hoping that. To maybe have a bet on Chris Wood, but I think he's got a wrist injury, hasn't he?
Right.
Because obviously you're thinking Lynx.
He's suffered with injuries, hasn't he, in his career?
Yeah, so maybe he's not quite on it. But the 40-1, if he was fit, would be a good price.
Let's talk about the Greenbrier Classic then, the PGA Tour event. And Patrick Reed is the 12-1 favourite here with William Hill. Bill Haas is 14-1. Kevin Kisner, 16-1. David Lingmerth, 20-1. Phil Mickelson, 20-1. Webb Simpson 20-1, 25-1, Bubba Watson, Danny Lee, Keegan Bradley, Tony Finau, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. And unfortunately, due to severe flooding in the area last year, this event was cancelled, and tournament organisers have reportedly done a fantastic job to get it playable for this year's championship. By no means a stellar field this week, but the expectation, I think, is that even though it has undergone some changes, old TPC White, it will play similarly to other occasions, Mike.
Yeah, would you say it's a little bit of a putting contest?
Yeah, I would say that. And you look at the prices there. Has Bill Haas ever been 14-1 for a PGA Tour event?
Not unless it's up against a major. Sometimes he has in, you know, when he's it's the kind of the against...
Yeah, yeah, the opposite open, event, yeah.
Against the opposite event, yeah. Exactly. But...
It's weak, isn't it?
It is weak. I'm not having a bet in it, I have to say. A, it's a bit of a putting contest, which I don't really like. And B, there's not a lot of quality, so the prices aren't that appealing for me. I'll have a good look in running and just see if I can pick a bit of value in running. But... I couldn't. No one jumped out at me.
What's the angle in for you, Dave? Is there anything that stands out statistically?
Well, I think you've got to look at players who are sleeping in their own beds. as your main.
Who say that they're really happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And everything's great in their life.
Mates of.
yeah, I had a mate who was rubbish.
Kyle Stanley.
Yeah, who thrashed him every week in college. Is it? It's wide fairways. I think it's a good strokes gain tee to green course. Sometimes you think putting contests that you can hit it anywhere, but it's often the players who set up the best chances with good iron play. It's a par 70, so again, you look at par 4 birdie or better leaders. Mm. They're two of my stats this week I would look at.
Okay. How many? Have you got a selection?
I've got one selection. Yeah.
I've got one pick as well. Go on, you go first then, Dave.
So my pick is... the man with massive local tie, Johnson Wagner.
That's my pick as well.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't feel so daft now then.
80-1, Johnson Wagner.
Yeah.
His middle name, Greenbrier.
Yeah. Yeah, he named all his children Greenbrier.
You lead off here then.
Well, he came fifth last week, which is obviously a very good sign. And at the Travellers, where he was 43rd, he'd opened the Travellers with a 64, faded a little bit to, I think, 43rd. But the Travellers, he said, I'm really looking forward to this next kind of run of events because they really suit him. So he's already played the first of those and came tied fifth. Now he's into the second of these. Loves Seth Rayner, who designed this course, big fan of the course. He went to Virginia Tech, went up and saw it in his college days. He does get extra local support because of that. I forget what Virginia Tech kind of, what you call them, people who went there.
No idea.
Let's hope it's Tex.
You know, like Hoosiers and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll get all that kind of college stuff being shouted at him like they do. And you can go around the house and say, yeah, you've got the local ties. But the ultimate proof is, has he played well there before? Well, he has. He's finished runner-up there before. So it's not just sort of airy-fairy guff that you can dismiss. He likes this course.
Yeah.
Says he likes it, and he's proven he likes it with that second place. So I just think 80-1 in a field where I don't like any of the front runs. Patrick Reed, I think it's too short for what he's been. He's
I'm with you. I wouldn't be interested in taking anyone at 25-1 or shorter in this field.
No, not at all. I've got a sneaky feeling Mickelson, just because he's without bones, he'll somehow, something will click and it'll be like an ironic win. And maybe, you know, when he missed the US Open to attend his daughter's graduation, something will go well for him. Although that's tempered by the fact he's played here three times and missed the cut three times, but then Tommy Fleetwood would have missed the cut four times in France. It can be done. But yeah, I wanted to look at a bigger price, and Johnson Wagner coming into form nice. He also played, well, you can take over, but he was, I think, fourth in the all-around last week.
Nothing left to say. Yeah.
not much. The only thing I would say is he putted a lot better last week, which I think bodes well.
He's a streaky putter, so he can get really hot with it.
Yeah, he was 10th in strokes gained putting last week, and 10th in strokes gained off the tee as well. So it was his all-around game that was in good form. And you mentioned that runner-up finish in 2013 behind Blix. He's finished 11th here as well in the past, back in 2011. So
he's a three-time winner as well on the PGA Tour.
Precisely. He hasn't won since 2012, but I think that one could be on the way. So 80-1 in this field.
Yeah.
Look fair. And remember, myself and Dave matched last week and we got that 100 way tie for fifth last week.
Of Keegan Bradley.
Well, on the one selection.
Yep. Turning £100 into £100.07. Yeah.
Something like that.
Better than nothing.
Precisely. A return is a return. So 80-1, Johnson Wagner, the sole selection for the Greenbrier Classic. I'm going a point each way. Are you having a point each way with me?
I do, as we did last week, yeah. Yep. I'll match that.
Okay. Was there anyone in your mind, Mike? Are you looking out for anyone this week?
Tony Finau, but he was a bit short, I thought. 25s. He was interesting. But no one massively. I'll go into it with an open mind to see who's playing well. And watch a bit of it and just, you know, get a feel for it. With it, I mean, by the way, it is a slightly amended course because it's...
Yeah, I think they've had to relay all the fairways and greens, but they've not changed much, have they?
No, I don't think it will make that much difference. But no, it's a nice enough course to watch. But I don't go mad before events when they're put in contests because I just think it does make it a lot easier for lesser players to prevail.
I've got one man that I'm definitely... watching this week. Gary Woodland is 66-1 in this field. I know he's had to deal with the loss of one of his twins, which has definitely affected his form on the golf course. But the other one was born without hitch last week.
Oh, right.
So that's very positive news for Woodland, who's back on the golf course. And 66-1 in this field for a player of his ability, Gary Woodland. He was fourth here in 2011 as well. Just sets up nicely for him, wide fairways.
Yeah.
I think he could go well this week, Woodland. His mind will be more centred this week, I think. So 66-1, I think it's a good price on Woodland. So I'll be watching how he goes this week as well.
The same price, I quite like Stuart Sink. He's played lots of good golf. Can you just pull up the top 10 betting? Because I think
he's playing ever so well to kind of contend, isn't he? But yeah. he doesn't look like winning.
Stuart Sink
5-1.
5-1, yeah. Top
yeah,
10.
Well, if you take out the US Open, which he didn't do bad in, I think he was 46, but he's finished tied 10th in two of his last three regular stroke play events, so he's around that mark. But as Mike said, he's not looking like he's going to win. I mean, if you go back to the start of the year, everything is sort of like tied 27th, 28th. There's lots of
good
high
finishes,
quality, good consistent form without really being a much use to punters unless they play these side markets.
Yeah, he's playing much better again, isn't he? But there's nothing wrong with top 20 and getting a decent price, is there? So JB Holmes just caught my eye at 50s, funnily enough. But just checked his form, isn't amazing. But again, he's a player who's probably a little bit better than most in this field.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, who's the player you don't want to win this week from either event? The player would frustrate you most if he managed to get in the winner's circle. Have you got one, Mike?
Not massively, Dave. No, I haven't. Maybe Andy Sullivan. I was pretty close to him, I guess.
Andy Sullivan, 33-1 in the Irish. I'd have to go with GMAC, I think, at 40-1 because he's in his own bed this week. So
the
bed factor. I'd have to go with him at 40s, possibly.
Go back to the American one.
Yep.
I think Webb Simpson will go well at this course. So he would slightly annoy me, but I'm not playing him at 20s.
No, he frustrates me. Because I'm obsessed by Short Tracker a lot of the time during these events and watching it, and he just hits it to 13, 14 feet every hole and never makes one. Yeah. So,
but also,
20-1.
Also, maybe Phil Mickelson, because I've sort of talked about maybe the sort of bones thing. This is another one of these perception things, isn't it? You change caddy and then you ignore the 99 other players who changed caddy and were rubbish.
What's Mickelson doing? Is he playing the Scottish, do we know?
I don't think he is.
No, I don't think he is this year. No, I think I've read somewhere he's not playing the Scottish.
Because that's interesting.
It always surprises me that Mickelson, when he doesn't play the week before a major championship.
That seems to be, he likes that now.
That's how he wins.
Yeah, playing the week before a major. And then I remember the year he didn't play the week before the Masters and turned up and played dismally. So that surprises me. But obviously he's got other things.
Where will
Burns
end up, do you think?
On whose bag? It's difficult, isn't it? That's the sort of longest caddy player relationship you can ever remember.
You'd imagine that he must have something in mind. He hasn't just. Didn't fall out.
They've not fallen out. They just think they've thought maybe there's. Mickelson's not won since 2013. They're maybe just a change as good as the rest.
Yeah, I wonder whether he's had
his wedding and everything.
He's had both knees replaced. I wonder whether he will come back, Bones.
Yeah, he just looked to be sort of limping a bit, maybe.
Yeah,
take a bit of time off. He'll be back. He's caddy for ages, can't he?
Yeah. I'm more interested about where is Joey Lecarpo ever going to see the golf course again? I mean, he gave up Dustin Johnson's bag to move to Tiger Woods.
Well, funny enough, I read a quote on that the weekend. He was at the Senior Open and he said, "What are you doing?" Someone said to him, "I'm playing a lot of golf."
Oh, it's starting to look like the worst business decision of all time, isn't it?
Going to return it, though.
Do you think so?
I do, yeah. I do. Otherwise, you'd have ditched it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, maybe that's what it is, and that maybe he's not...
I'm guessing.
He's not allowed contractually to be on anyone else's bag.
But
he's got to do something, though, hasn't he, at some point?
If you're getting paid to do nothing, you might as well play golf.
I suppose.
Bones once told me off at an Open.
Did he really?
It wasn't even anywhere near the course. It was out and about in whichever town, I forget where we were. Just wandering down the street, and
you must have had a few to drink. Where you were?
No idea.
Just
where
stumbling
I was.
Around.
Yeah, somewhere in Ireland, very confused. And Mickelson was just wandering around, and I think all I did was try to take a photo or wave or something, and Bone sort of put up his
really
not here sort of thing.
Wow. There
very,
you go.
Very loyal.
Yeah, on the TV, he looks such a nice guy.
The mask has slipped, hasn't it? The mask has slipped.
I thought that's a bit
from
hard.
Bones McKay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's recap the selections then for this week, starting with the Irish Open. Mike?
I'm going to have a point and a half each way on Tyrrell Hatton.
At 28 to 1?
Please.
I'll play a point each way, Jamie Donaldson at 66, and a point each way on Paul Waring at 150 to 1.
I'll have a point and a half each way on Thorbjørn Olesen at 25s in Ireland, and then matching your point each way on Johnson Wagner at the Greenbrier.
Yeah, both at 80 to 1, those points each way on Johnson Wagner. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
No seniors event this week, is there?
No seniors event. No, absolutely not.
Kenny Perry, winner of the...
Kenny Perry won the senior Open. Yeah, yeah.
You had a little bet on him?
I had a bet on him in play. I didn't back him beforehand. He's on my shortlist beforehand, which I did tweet, and I could have had him at a much bigger price. But I had a few quid on him, and it was all right. So,
where was Langer?
He played poorly on the Sunday to drop down the field a bit. So he should really have been placed. I don't know why
he's
doing
very well in that event, does he? I think he's not won it since 2010.
No, he just wins everything else. That's the only problem. but yeah, well done, Kenny Perry. He did really well, and Kirk Triplett ran him close. So it's a good event, the US seniors, I like.
Yeah, it looked good. The course.
Only problem
good.
Is it was about 15, 16 under, won it, which is US Open, is it?
No,
a bit like Erin Hills.
But there was
come
a gap.
On, give us a proper US Open, will you?
There was a gap between those top two and the rest, wasn't there?
There was.
But the scoring was more difficult for the rest.
Yeah, but there was plenty like between. You know, it's kind of 410.
Yeah.
But they just kind of broke away a bit. So
Mike wants the US Open one in two over par.
Well, I love those ones.
Year.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it should be like.
We've not had a tournament like that this year, have we?
Hopefully the Open could be tough, couldn't it, sometimes at Birkdale?
It gets windy, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Harrington win it with one over?
Was that in the year Poulter was?
Poulter was second.
Yeah, second. Yeah, that was a tough scoring Open Championship, definitely.
I like
the wind will blow.
I like it when they open the US Open are tough.
Yeah, I always remember that Tiger Woods shot like 80 at Muirfield, was it? And he couldn't keep hold of his cap, could he?
Yeah.
He was just getting blown. He could barely stand up in that Open Championship.
I think Monty shot 64 and then went to 84.
Yeah, so didn't he? Yeah. What not to like?
do follow us all on Twitter. Get your bets on for the Greenbrier Classic and the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. It's at M. Grenham, at D. Kellner, at Dave Tyndall Golf. If you want to tweet us this week or if you want to follow Bets Made in Play, and make sure you get your bets on here with William Hill for the Irish Open and the Greenbrier Classic. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and we'll speak again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.